1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. At least 9 deaths are now blamed on the winter storm that's blasted the South. Hundreds of thousands don't have power in icy Texas, but CBS's Jim Krasula says the problems stretch far beyond the Lone Star State.
Travel remains difficult across much of the South as freezing rain continues to fall. Highway crews in some areas, including central Arkansas, are starting to run low on road salt.
Week has been a pretty good drain on the salt supply. It takes more of that on the ground. You put it down and you let it take action, and then you got to come back again and put more because you keep getting with this freezing rain.
Ice storm warnings remain posted for parts of Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee.
At the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington this morning, President Biden called on elected officials in both parties to respect each other.
Having spent a half century in government, the president urges Democrats and Republicans to come together and join hands.
Let's start treating each other with respect. That's what Kevin and I are going to do. Not a joke.
Mr. Biden sat next to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy at the National Prayer Breakfast and said the pair had a good meeting yesterday on the debt ceiling.
Doesn't mean we're going to agree and fight like hell, but let's treat each other with respect.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Texas and 8 other Republican states are asking a federal judge to shut down the program known as DACA that benefits children brought to this country. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
They would not face imminent deportation because the Biden administration has prioritized the deportation of people with serious criminal convictions and recent border crossers, migrants who are recently arriving along the U.S.-Mexico border, but they would immediately lose their ability to work over 2 years.
The Supreme Court upheld DACA in 2020. Tennessee lawmakers will be asked to consider new police reform bills in the wake of the Tyre Nichols case in Memphis. Democrat Justin Jones wants to give people the power to sue police officers in civil court without them being able to claim immunity.
It's about accountability. It's about making sure that people have a right to go after those who abuse rights and hold them culpable and liable. I believe that we have to act.
Police in Sayreville, New Jersey say a 30-year-old Republican woman who was elected to the local council last fall was shot and killed in an SUV parked outside her home. No arrests have been made. There's a new look at the employment picture in a fresh government report. Mark Hamrick of Bankrate.com.
Fresh jobless claims figures continue to reflect the resilience of the job market. New claims fell by 3,000 to a seasonally adjusted 183,000. That's better than forecast and the lowest since last April.
A big tech stock rally is being spurred on by Facebook's parent company Meta. Shares are up around 23%. The NASDAQ is up more than 300 points. This is CBS News.
You want to go someplace new? Yeah, you do.
Just follow me. I'll lead the way.
Welcome to CBS Mornings.
See something new.
Oh, my God. That was a good moment.
Learn something new.
This is my first virtual reality interview.
Meet someone new. Like me.
Nate B. in the house.
What, what?
There's always something new under the sun.
I came to shine because you guys are shining this morning.
CBS Mornings, weekdays on CBS.
I'm Nora O'Donnell in the nation's capital.
The CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, bringing understanding.
Mr. President, there's a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
With facts first.
Is this a national emergency?
Unbiased reporting.
Do you think she was afraid to report what happened in Afghanistan?
Yes, ma'am.
And you put your life on the line. Why do you do it?
I just love being out there.
Making sense of our world.
Do you think there's something about the pandemic that unites us all?
The CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, weeknights on CBS.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Friday, February 3rd. In Wood County, the Judicial and Legislative Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in the Safety Conference Room. In Portage County, a quorum of the Planning and Zoning Committee will tour the Stevens Point Wastewater Treatment Plant at 10 a.m. Wood County has announced their new website is now active. The address is woodcountywi.gov. The change simplifies their internet addresses and provides a greater level of security under the .gov top-level domain. It assures citizens and visitors they are dealing with an official government entity. November's race for governor was the most expensive in Wisconsin history. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says total spending was $164 million. Public documents show Governor Evers' reelection campaign spent $42 million, and challenger Tim Michaels spent $28 million. The rest of it came from outside groups. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A wind chill advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until noon tomorrow. High of 18 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Northwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Mainly clear again tonight. Lows level off around 13 below. Highs level off around 6 above. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 18.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Over under 3.5, which means he needs to get what for over, Kristen? What number?
Two. But you said 1.5?
3.5.
Oh, four. Yes.
Yeah. So it goes. So it goes. So it goes. So it goes. Right. So if he gets four or more,
on my own
we
show.
Hit. Have I said how beautiful and smart you are today?
Thank you.
Show. Okay, good.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Welcome back to the 1 o'clock hour. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Madnera on the board, and it is that time of the week where we welcome Dr. Michael McCutcheon to help us fix our lives. And our lineups, although the lineup kind of thing is basically over. Fantasy is over. You can still make some bets leading up to the Super Bowl, but there is no game this weekend. So what we're going to, in the second segment, when we come back from our first commercial, we'll talk a little bit more about the big news that happened yesterday in the NFL. But first, we're gonna talk about some life stuff. Dr. Michael McCutcheon works as an executive coach. He's been featured on NPR and in the New York Times, and of course, weekly on As Goes Wisconsin. He helps us tackle topics like career, love, fitness, and family. And he also happens to be my best friend of 15 years. And Michael, I got to say, maybe not on air today, but as far as best friend advice stuff, I gotta call you later.
Yeah. I have to call you too. We're gonna have to split our best friend airtime this weekend. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we're both having a week. So Jane, we might have to patch you in too for some therapy too. A little.
I'm totally there.
So maybe we just need Michael, you and I just need some lucky girl syndrome. Maybe that's what we're missing in our lives. Have you heard about the lucky girl syndrome that's making its rounds on the TikTok and other social medias?
I always catch everything late because I do not have L TikTok. I catch everything late. So I just get scraps from you and from my clients. Actually, my coaching clients will just say, "Hey, have you heard of this thing?" And I always go, "Oh yeah, sure." And I just Google it later because I don't want to sound too out of touch. I have heard about this thing, and I think we should probably play a clip of it or tell your audience a little bit more about it. But it's, I think we're going to hear some things that make us maybe think about something that reminds us maybe the secret or maybe the power of positive thinking or things like that. It's got some vibes of some other catchy phrases we've heard in the not too distant past. But I'm intrigued by it. So I'm excited to talk about it today on the show.
So we can't play the original video that kind of started this whole thing because there's too many curse words.
Okay.
We were listening to it at the break and we're like, we don't have enough time to bleep all these out because this is still live radio. And so basically, this is not what this has all started. And this is not revolutionary. There is a young woman. I mean, when I say young, she's like 22, and she has, I don't know, a lot of followers on TikTok. So it's named, her name's Laura Galibay, and she's a 22-year-old creator who in December posted a TikTok about her very charmed life. And with the caption said, let's talk about the lucky girl syndrome. And it's her, she's, you know, she's hot, she's young, to her doing her makeup. And the whole video is basically about how her life, her whole life just works out. And she just believes it's going to work out. And so the more she believes that things are going to happen to her and good things will come to her, the more things do. Good things do come to her. And she was just like, I found the video a little nauseating. And it's not necessarily because I don't believe in the power of positive thinking or manifesting, or there's this idea about like scripting your life and writing about, you know, writing in the present tense of things that you want to have, writing as if you already have them. And so less about this specific thing with this specific creator, but I think as someone who has his doctorate, also, we'll come back. We'll talk about your feelings about Dr. Jill Biden and whether or not she should be called a doctor. But that's a different day. But you have your doctorate in psychology, and how much of this secret, the secret or lucky girl or whatever we're calling it, is actually useful versus harmful?
Oh yeah, I think a lot of things have to do with how one leverages their, use whatever word you want to use, luck, their privilege, their place in life, right? Their circumstance, right? If I'm saying I'm lucky, everything comes to me, and so I'm very grateful for that, you know, how blessed I've been, that's one thing, right? If I'm flaunting it, I think it's a very different thing, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm talking to my friend who's struggling with their body, if they're struggling with weight loss, and I just go, I know that really stinks for you, as I'm eating a chocolate covered strawberry and saying, oh, I can't put on weight. it stinks, right? That is actually really, really cruel to do, right? As opposed to saying, I'm really grateful for this. I'm really blessed. I think one thing is that this person, it's the way we do something. I read a couple articles on some of the things these people were quote unquote manifesting, and some of the things that they're having people say. And, I've got one clip that I read here. They said, please follow my daily affirmation. Say this affirmation for 21 days and watch how much money comes your way. And the affirmation is this, Kristen, quote, I get paid to exist. Wealth is my birthright. Now, I can imagine how that would drive some folks absolutely crazy to hear that, right? That would make some people say, you're kind of wacky and kind of putting people's nose in this idea of materialism and things like that. So I don't know. I think, like, you know, using this lucky girl thing is sort of saying that I'm lucky and the rest of you are sort of not, right? I'm beautiful and I've got all these things. I've got, I've won the genetic Olympics, which means you've lost, right? And so I think if we're putting ourselves up by putting someone else down by contrast, that's not the way to sort of do it. But if we can sort of say, here's what I do, as far as karma is concerned, whatever you put back out in the universe comes back out to you. Put positive vibes out there and you will get positivity back out to you. That's probably a good thing too. So I think it really has to do with not just what you're doing, but how you're doing it. It's the spirit of the thing, don't you think?
But I think that's my question. So as someone who has a lot of clients, and as we say every week when you join the show, again, we're told this is our segment, Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life, and your lineup with Dr. Michael McCutcheon every Thursday at 1. You know, we tackle topics like career, love, fitness, and family. And so with your clients, when you are, and you don't give advice, like as a coach, you coach people through to come to their own solutions and find their, I mean, same thing with like psychologists. You don't necessarily give people advice, but as far as, is this anything you would even recommend as far as in order to have your, so much of your own destiny is also tied to your attitude. Is that something that you as a professional subscribe to?
To a certain extent, yeah, I do think so. I do. And I think, I do think that the first person who has to, believe that one circumstance is going to change is you, right? I mean, if you walk into any room, you know, a lot of people come to me for a career. I would say that, you know, anywhere between 30 and 50% of people come to me for some kind of career change, right? They want something to be different there. You know, no one is going to believe that you can do something different than what you're already doing, something better than you're already doing. They're not going to want to promote you, or they're not going to want to have you go get a graduate degree, or want to believe that your business can do something, you know, that you can start a new business before you can, right? So you have to first believe that, right? And so if you're saying, I don't believe in myself, or I never can do this, or whatnot, I will, you know, metaphorically give them a good shake and sort of say it does actually start with you, that you've got to get your mindset around it until you can envision what that actually looks like, until you can actually see yourself, you know, succeeding in a leadership role, right? Until you can see yourself do those sorts of things. No one's going to believe it first. You have to believe it, right? You've got to be the creator of that vision. And I don't mean that in just like a spiritual way, like see a vision. I mean it very tangibly. Write it out. What does it look? What does that office look like? What is, you know, what does the degree on your wall look like? What does your bank account look like? What, you know, when it's different? What does that tangibly mean in your life? You know, everybody's got a reason for having self-doubt. Everybody's got a sob story of being rejected or having somebody having told them that they couldn't or that they shouldn't or why it won't work out. We all have that, all of us. Great, take it, process it, move on, right? What's tomorrow's story? What's next year's story? If you don't have that, nobody's gonna wake you up in the morning and say, "Come on, champ, I believe in you. Let me walk you down to the office and fill out your application and go tell a boss like why you should be promoted." That's gotta be you, right? So I do think there really is to this. So for advice is concerned, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but I will advise people to start there, start with themselves.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are going to break for our first commercial. When we come back, we have a question about love and dating, and we're going to talk a little bit about a certain person's retirement, knock on wood for good. This is Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life on As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
Yes, it counts, and a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you, and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar & Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 7 locations statewide. Monk's Bar & Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Gainesville, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Personal file, 69, offense, he was giving them the business.
Is your love life a fantasy? Having issues with your fantasy football roster? Helping with football and your love life, here's your new best friend, Dr. Mike.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is that time of the week when we are talking to my best friend, Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is here to help us fix our lives and... at least for the last 16 weeks, he was helping us fix my lineup and other people's lineup because he is somewhat of a fantasy football savant. But we are going to get back into answering people's questions. If you have a question ever for Dr. Mike, you can either text us 844-967-2789. Otherwise, next week, if you want to email us something during the week, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us and we will pick your question. And so for now, though, Dr. Mike... our question is about love and dating. So, hey, Dr. Mike, I'm a 35-year-old guy, and I've been casually dating recently, but can't seem to get excited about getting serious with anyone yet. All of my friends are either getting married or in long-term relationships, but I keep going on 1 to 3 dates with women and then abruptly moving on. Even though I tell myself I want to have a family someday, I don't feel ready for commitment right now. I feel like I'm too old to keep doing this. What should I do? Should I bite the bullet and settle down?
That's a tough one, right? When you see people around you, and you know other people are getting married or engaged, or they've been with people for a long time and they're moving in. It's hard because we feel like we should be doing this sort of stuff, but. We feel differently in our hearts. It's hard with family too, because we have parents who say, I want grandchildren, and we've got, all I want to do is see you happy before I die, grandma says, all that sort of stuff. It's really hard for us to do that. And so I think like the most important thing is for us to be really honest with where we are. I'll speak for myself, just to be totally transparent, since this is a very open and loving, transparent show. I didn't get married till I was nearly 40 years old. George Clooney didn't get married till he was nearly 125 years old, right? I think it's Leonardo DiCaprio's 90 years old and still dating 26-year-olds, right? So that's his thing. You got to be honest with who you are and where you are. Maybe career is important to you right now. Maybe commitment's not the thing for you right now. Maybe it never will be, and that's also okay. You just keep doing what you're doing. I think the most important thing is being honest with yourself. But also a very, 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 very close second is I would be honest with these women, too. Please don't ghost these people. If you're going on 1 to 3 dates with them, be honest, you know, sort of up front. Make sure that you're saying, you know, this is kind of what I'm doing right now. This is what I'm looking for, what I'm not looking for. If they are looking for something long term, you know, and you are going on a first or second date with them, don't leave them wondering that something might be wrong with them or that they did something wrong. Make sure that you call or send a text at least, right, to say, hey, you know, you were great. I had fun. I'm just not looking for anything serious. And so good luck to you, so that they're not just, you know, sitting around wondering. So be honest with yourself. Don't just quote unquote bite the bullet and settle down. As you said, you'll know when the right one comes along. You'll know when it's time, if it's ever time. And do the right thing and be not just honest with yourself, but honest with them.
And that phrase, Dr. Mike, really jumped out to me. Going into a long-term relationship or a marriage shouldn't be a punishment. If you're looking at it like, oh, I'm just going to bite the bullet and do it, then maybe that's not such a good idea.
You know, I almost called you Dr. Jane. That was so good. Yes, Dr. Jane. Yeah, absolutely. It's just, bite the bullet is getting a prostate exam. That shouldn't be marriage, right? I mean, we bite the bullet when we go to our accountant and pay our taxes. It shouldn't be like, you know, the joy of marriage and starting a family. You're absolutely right. So if you're thinking about quote unquote settling down, it should be a joyous thing. You're totally right there.
All right. Well, moving on. There is no football this week, but big news: Tom Brady retired again. So, a football question this week. What will it do to the state of Wisconsin if Aaron Rodgers decides to retire or even demands a trade to another team?
This should be a Kristen question, since you are the heart of Wisconsin.
Oh, I don't know.
Kristen Bry. But I can't. I will just say I think he should stay. I think you've got a good young team. You have a good draft pick. I think he just did a holdout and got all the money in the world. I think he should stay. I think it would, you know, crush. I don't know. I think it would crush a lot of young fans' dreams if he left. But I will leave it up to you to answer this. I will say he should stay. I don't know what it would do. I'll leave that up to you, Kristen. What would it do to the state of Wisconsin?
I feel like a lot of people in the state of Wisconsin are ready for him to. I don't know if they're ready for him to be traded, because there's like Brett Favre all over again. But I feel like they're kind of ready to move on in a lot of ways. But also, this comes from Paul Noonan, who is one of our Packer pundits, who made a really good point like mid-season as far as Aaron Rodgers does not want to retire the same year as Tom Brady and be inducted into the Hall of Fame the same year as Tom Brady, because he is going to be, to steal Paul's words, second banana. And so I don't think he's going to retire. I don't know if he'll be traded. We may have another year with him, and who knows, maybe when he doesn't have a broken thumb, he'll be a lot better. We'll have a better season. It's yet to be seen. But for now, Dr. Mike, thank you for another rendition of Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Your Lineup. We'll be back next week with more questions and also some prop bets to get Jane really excited for the Super Bowl. Thank you, my friend, and I will certainly be calling you later.
All my love to you both. See you next week.
All right, stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Lined up, your guys at the burger meet. Again, of course, we're speaking in the figurative sense. What's the use of even going through the motions when you know that you're gonna lose anyhow? So why don't you save us all some time and give up now?
The Shaw 101 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Rick Smith Show.
where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Last spring, you chose hardworking seed, but did it work as hard as you did? At NK Seeds, we know that all the time, all the effort, comes down to this. All that matters now is yield and how the seed performed on your acre. Because you can't fake performance, and bushels don't lie. Visit nkseeds.com/harvest.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. There are new vaccination rules in Wisconsin for schools and daycare centers. Starting this month, students have to get a meningitis shot in 7th grade and a booster by their senior year of high school. The Department of Health Services is also moving the whooping cough shot from 6th grade to age 11. Daycare centers can now need proof from a doctor about kids' chickenpox history. The chickenpox vaccine is highly recommended but not required. A federal judge ruled that a civil rights lawsuit against the city and county of Kenosha, as well as Kyle Rittenhouse, can move forward. Rittenhouse shot three men in August 2020 during the protests in Kenosha. Two of those men, Anthony Huber and Joseph Rosenbaum, died. Rittenhouse was acquitted on all counts. Huber's family has filed the civil rights lawsuit to hold Rittenhouse and the police who authorized his actions accountable for Huber's death. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A wind chill advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until noon tomorrow. High of 18 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Northwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Mainly clear again tonight. Lows level off around 13 below. Highs level off around 6 above. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 18.
Today, because it is Black History Month, it's day two. Derek Mosley, former judge of the Milwaukee Municipal Court, where he was there for 20 years, but now the newly minted director of Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. Welcome back to the show.
How are you, my friend?
We are great. We are
great.
Thriving. We're here. We're reveling in the four seasons and all the glory it brings to us.
Right. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes. And so I'm so happy. I think I fangirled a little too hard yesterday. I shared your day one Black history knowledge all across all social media. We read it on air. But for people who maybe missed that yesterday or who are unaware of what you, I have to imagine, spend a lot of time doing in this month to do 28 separate posts. Give us a little background about what this project is that you just kind of came up with.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. How it all started was my mom grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they eventually moved to Denver, but she grew up in Tulsa. And I remember her telling me when I was a kid about the Tulsa race riots back in the 1920s. And I had never heard of it before. And I remember going to my teacher and telling my teacher, hey, you ever heard of the Tulsa race riots? Like, no, never heard of it. Never heard of it. And so I went back and told my mom that never happened. It never happened, right? And lo and behold, not only did it happen, we just celebrated the 100-year anniversary, right, a couple years ago. And so that's led me on this mission. I have to find out. I'm not getting the whole story here about things that are happening. So I decided to start researching things, not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of my two girls. And so that's how this all started.
And so how many years have you been doing this?
This will be the 13th year.
Wow. And how many? So basically, it's a different post every day on your Instagram, Facebook. Do you post it anywhere else?
LinkedIn.
And it's about, what, 200 to 300 word summary of a story that's pretty unknown as far as getting out of kind of the MLK, Rosa Parks, like some of the heroes that we do learn about and dig a little bit deeper. So yesterday it was about the three other girls that aren't as known than Ruby Bridges. And what was today's story?
So today's story was about the Clotilda. And the Clotilda was the last slave ship that made the journey from Africa to what is now America. And this was back in 1860, roughly. And on that ship were there was 109 people who were taken from Africa and brought over here. But I focused on the three last remaining survivors of that trip. And they were young, young kids at the time of this trip. But slavery ended in 1865. They came over this on the ship. It was illegal to keep doing the slave trade that way. So the ship was actually burnt and scuttled in the river, the Mobile River. And so these three, once they were released as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation, they got together with other formerly enslaved Africans and bought. They tried to raise money to go back to Africa, but they couldn't get that much money. But they got enough money to buy 3 acres of land outside of Mobile, Alabama. So if you're familiar with Mobile, it's called the Plateau Area. And so they got the money to get these 3 acres. And on these 3 acres, they created this town, a self-sufficient black community, had schools, had churches, had groceries, things of that nature, called Africatown. And Africatown still exists to this day. And in fact, it's on the National Historic Registry of the United States.
There you go. Another thing I did not know. And so in 13 years, you said you've been doing this. Do you do repeats, or is it new is this 28 new ones each year?
Well, it sometimes repeats, right? Okay. It repeats because, you know, you get new followers, you get new people joining on. And so I like to, you know, just like history books, right? You took history from first grade to, 12th grade, and you heard the same stories, right? But with a different spin. And so I try to do that. And, you know, we just talked about the three people on that ship, you know, so it was Cudjo Lewis, Radoshi, and Matilda McCrea were those last three. And the fact that they were the last surviving members, the reason why I wanted to bring that story to everybody's attention is because Cudjo? When Cudjo died in 1935, Radoshi died in 1937, and Matilda McCrea died in 1940. So to put that in perspective for you, the last survivors of the transatlantic slave trade died when Betty White was 18 years old, when Queen Elizabeth was 13 years old, and when Dustin Hoffman and Jack Nicholson were 3 years old. And I wanted to tell this story because we've been told that our past is ancient, right? But we are much closer to our past than we've been led to believe.
And that is, that is wild to wrap your brain around as far as the actual timeline of things. Because we talked about that yesterday of how Ruby Bridges, Gail, Leona, and I'm blanking on the fourth person's.
Gail Etienne and Leona Tate.
Yes, thank you. And they're 68.
68, right?
That's my parents' age.
Right. So your parents lived in a time where blacks couldn't go to school with whites. In fact, my mom actually went to a segregated high school. because she left. She lived in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And so she went to a segregated high school. So when people talk about this, oh, it happened so long ago, I'm like, my mom's not so long ago, right? And so it's important that we understand these stories and make a push for them now, because there's this effort to like not teach it at all, which is just insane to me.
It is.
Derek, I want to go back to your mom just for a second. Again, when you found out in school about the Tulsa race riots, and then, or you heard about it and you went back to your mom and said, yeah, that didn't happen. What did she respond with?
So you mean after I woke up from being knocked out? So when I came to, she just said, I'm telling you, this is the truth. You got to believe it. And, you know, here I am siding with, you know, I was, you know, you're a teenager, right? So I'm siding with this teacher who's telling me that this never happened. And my mom, who lived in Tulsa and had family members who were part of it, are telling me it did happen. And yeah, this, needless to say, she was upset. But when I started on this journey, she was the first person there helping me out.
How did your teacher respond?
My teacher responded, this never happened.
Continued to maintain that it never happened.
Correct. Yeah, that never happened.
What, can I ask if it was a white teacher or a black teacher?
Well, it was a white teacher.
Okay.
And remember, this is before the internet, right? And so everything that we had for information were in books that we could find at libraries and what have you. So what happened with the internet was that it just made it so much easier to find this information.
Yeah.
And now it's out, and we celebrated the 100-year anniversary, right? And people were just learning about this. It was the first time that a bomb, literally a bomb, because a farmer had put together a bunch of ammonium and stuff into a glass cylinder and flew his crop duster over Tulsa and dropped it on the black part of Tulsa. So it was like the first time a bomb ever was dropped on the United States. And we don't tell this story.
We don't tell that story. And so we're talking to Derek Mosley, former Milwaukee Municipal Court judge, newly minted director of Marquette University Law School, Law School's Lubar Center. That's such a long title. What do you say for short right now, now that you're in there? You've been in there for a month?
Yeah, I've been in there for 13 days.
Oh, wow.
So I just say Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center.
All right. That's a lot easier. All right. So I do want to get to the new job, but before we move on.
Yeah.
So with how much, like you said, there's some that repeat because you do get new followers, but how much on top of your day job work do you put into this every year?
So during the course of the year, I'm doing stories, and my sister, who lives down in Chicago, does the same thing. So we also swap stories.
Okay.
So it makes it a lot easier. And we're compiling all these stories to put a book out together. I couldn't put the book out while I was a judge, because you're not allowed to get other income while you're on the bench.
Got it.
But now that I'm off the bench, I'm able to do this. So my sister and I have been compiling these stories for books to be sold to schools. Heaven forbid they don't get banned, but books to be, you know, sold out to school. So we're really excited about it.
I did not know that. That's really exciting. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So with that, I guess transitioning over to Black history being made today. I'm very excited. I literally registered this morning for the event that's coming up on March 21st with our historic Black leaders who are the first in their position in Milwaukee. And so tell us more about the event.
Yeah, so two things I want to say real quick. First, the power of social media. So we talked about these stories and how I've been putting them out. I put a story out about the oldest park ranger, United States park ranger. She's 100 years old. Her name is Betty Soskin. That one story got shared a million times. And so, I mean, it's just the power of social media is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. So anyway, so back to the event on March 21st. So on March 21st, we have Mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. We have the Milwaukee County Executive, David Crowley. We have the Common Council President, Jose Perez. And we have the County Board's President, Milwaukee County Board President, Marcelia Nicholson. And the reason why I wanted to bring them in to the Lubar Center is because in the 177-year history of the city of Milwaukee, it's the first time that all of those positions are held by people of color, which is amazing, one. And two, three of those four people are millennials. And so this is a new generation, a new look, a new feel for a city that's 50% people of color. And so for the first time, someone who looks like half of the population will be in control of that form of government.
And I've just, I mean, as someone who, as we talked about the last time you were here, I would say, objectively still pretty new to Milwaukee. And it's been, even in such a short period of time, and despite all of the challenges that the city is facing, to see the energy and I think the enthusiasm that they're all bringing to trying to be innovative in some of the problem solving and the solutions that we need to think about, and the compromise and the relationship building. And so it's been really great to see, I think, that kind of young leadership, especially as we talk about how old some of our federal politicians and judges are. And so seeing young leadership and what, like, it's such an example of what it can look like if we just elect them.
And you know what's so great? All four of them grew up in the central city of Milwaukee. I mean, David Crowley, the county executive, grew up in 53206. Yeah. And then you have Cavalier Johnson also. And on the south side, we had Jose Perez. They all lived in, you know, in neighborhoods that we would consider to be, you know, not so pleasant. And so they grew up in a time when these neighborhoods were struggling. They went through the, you know, the crack epidemic and now the heroin epidemic, and they went through all of this. And so they bring that experience to their jobs, which I love. I can't wait for this conversation.
I know. I'm so excited. I signed Mike and I up this morning. So we'll be there in person, but people can register to be, it's going to be both virtual and in person, right?
That's absolutely correct. We prefer people to come in person just because, you know, you can interact easier. Our virtual is a stream, so you're not able to ask questions of the guests. And so they're open to any questions. So if you can, please come in person. And I really wanted you to come to our first event, February 26th. Ooh. We are hosting, it's because it's Black History Month, as we're talking about, at the old Turner Hall, which is now called Turning Tables. We have an event called The Contribution of African Americans to American Cuisine. And so I had four African American chefs, and we're going to talk about all the things that we eat, and it's going to be a coursed meal, all the things that we eat as part of the American palate that were brought to us by enslaved Africans. And so I wanted to invite you to that, but when we put it up, it sold out in an hour and a half. So,
wow.
I know. I apologize.
Oh, you just gave us a menu we can't have, Derek.
I know.
Like, why didn't you wanted to invite me? That sounds like it's in the future. It does not sound like it was January 26th.
Well,
it sounds like it's... is there a waiting list in case anyone drops out?
There is a waiting list. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to pass that waiting list. It's people are they're clamoring to get together to eat, and the fellowship bring people together, which is what we're all about at the Lubar Center.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a heads up real quick.
Okay.
We're going to do this for every Heritage Month. So May is Asian Heritage Month. And I've already collaborated with Elevation, which is a group here in Milwaukee. We're going to have all the different types of cuisine that make up Asian food. So Japanese, Chinese, Thai. And we're going to do the same exact event with chefs of those nationalities and ethnicities and different food. And they will talk to you about the food. You'll be able to eat that as well. So May. We haven't So here's the best way. You need to follow the Lubar Center.
That's exactly. I was going to say, is there a newsletter? Yeah. Just follow it on social media?
Yeah. So there's a couple of ways you could do it. So the first way you could do it is I tell people just to follow us on LinkedIn. It's Marquette University Law School Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education, the long name.
We only got 30 seconds left, so I'm going to have you email me all that information so I can share it with the audience. But Derek Mosley, always such a treat to have you on. Thank you for all the work that you do.
Follow love you, my friend.
Follow him on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Johnson, WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
She is a foodie. She owns a restaurant. And she has very strong feelings about tater tots and how they should be presented.
Chefs in particular try to recreate a tater tot. It's highly offensive to me.
This is how you live your life, passionately. It is National Tater Tot Day, and we wanted Francesca Hong, yes. Representative Francesca Hong from Madison, to repeat her rant about tater tots. But unfortunately, because she has a real job, she had prior engagement, so she could not join us live on the show today. But we just instead had to replay when she was on the show and talk to us about being a tater tot purist.
Yes, I just love how she finds it so highly offensive. It's hilarious.
But I will say, I think I did not grow up. Taco John's been around for a long time. We have a Taco John's very close to our studio in downtown Waukesha. My husband loves Taco John's. And I wonder what I'm so curious, and maybe I'll have to text her after the show, because that is a little bit of a departure from a tater tot, because they're thinner. Potato Olays are thinner.
Yes.
I like them because they're the outside crispiness ratio to the inside hash brown ratio, mm-hmm. is there's more crispiness than the softness of like the Oneida version that she was like, Oneida gets it right, don't screw it up. And I think the seasoning's a little differently.
You mean Oreida?
Is it Oreida?
Oreida.
Oneida is definitely
the tribe.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
It's been a day.
I know.
Leave me alone, Jane.
It's Thursday. It's fine. I just thought I'd throw in that a little correction.
And I'm trying, because I would say if potato Olays can be considered tater tots, I think I have to say that they're my favorite.
Well, we're going to have to bring Francesca back on sometime so we can have this debate. Now I think people are perched on the edge of their chairs. I know I am. I want her determination on whether or not potato Olays come under the tater tot umbrella.
Are they just their own thing?
They could be in a category all of their own.
Or are they just baby hash browns?
That are round.
Because that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the McDonald's hash brown that's just bigger, but it's just like the little flat pancake looking hash brown that's also very crispy. That I love. And I also love crispy bacon. So I don't like mushy things. I want things to be...
have some crunch.
Crunch.
And let's not forget that cheese sauce for the potato Olays. Or do you not like the cheese sauce? No?
My husband's a very big sauce person. I'm like mediocre on... I like a little bit. One of the first questions he asked me when we were still just on the dating app and we hadn't actually met in person, but because I was still in Wisconsin Rapids and he was in Milwaukee and we were getting to know each other, he randomly out of the blue texted me and said, what's your feeling on ketchup?
This is a make or break question, Kristen.
And I was like, what? what? And I said, it's fine. Like, I eat it in appropriate ways with appropriate foods as far as putting it on, French fries and a burger. And lo and behold, this person puts ketchup on literally everything.
Your husband puts ketchup on everything?
My husband puts ketchup on white rice.
Oh, ew. No.
I swear, when we first started dating, do you know what a Buddha bowl is?
No.
It's like healthy. It's kind of this idea of like complementary ingredients, like Brussels sprouts. It's like a superpower food type bowl where you can put like cooked vegetables in with some kind of grain.
Quinoa and yeah.
Yeah. And it's healthy. And so I made like make your own Buddha bowl. So I had all like different bowls with different things that you could put together and then the sauces, but like things that were not ketchup sauces. And I swear to God, he just smothered his in ketchup. And I was like, these are not complimentary flavors, Michael.
See, you should have been apparently the one to ask about ketchup.
Apparently. And so, I am like a mediocre, like, yeah, like I like some sauce, but if something's drenched in mayo, too much.
Yeah.
Like sushi, going to sushi restaurants and having some of those crazy rolls that you can't even taste the fish because there's so much spicy mayo or eel sauce or something on there. Like I like an appropriate amount of condiment sauces, but I want to actually be able to taste the real food and not just the gooiness.
Yeah.
Smothered in it.
In the sushi instance, I would take the stuff that's smothered in spicy mayonnaise.
Are you not a sushi person?
So I don't have to taste the raw fish.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Not a fan. So what do you order if you ever go to a Japanese restaurant?
Is it the California roll that has that eensy beansy little teeny tiny piece of tuna in the middle that you can barely taste because it's surrounded by lettuce and other stuff?
Well, a California roll is either going to be fake crab or real crab.
Well, I've had some, again, whatever it was.
Whatever the California roll was.
It just had this tiny little piece of fish that you can barely taste.
And if it's crab, it's cooked.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of crab meat or a little bit of fake crab meat. And I think it's an avocado, maybe a carrot, and I think some sauce on it. Yeah. So
sauce it up for me.
Good to know. What Asian, and now that we're Mr. Mosley told us about, well, we're missing out on the Black History Month cooking, which I'm actually very bummed about, but for the Elevation one and for Asian AAPI
in May,
what is your go-to Asian cuisine that you really could eat daily?
I like Thai food.
Mm-hmm. Like curry or pad Thai?
Curry.
Okay.
And I guess that, I mean, I'm not familiar with Japanese cuisine.
I just think teriyaki. Beyond sushi, it'd be like teriyaki.
Sure.
But it's a lot of fish.
It is a lot of fish. And I'm not going to eel.
Have you tried eel?
No.
It's pretty good.
It's.
And the sauce is like pretty sweet.
Is it, what's the texture like?
Like duck.
Oh.
I would say it's kind of oily like duck is.
Okay.
You could do eel, I think. Don't do uni.
What? I don't even know what that is.
Uni is sea urchin.
Oh.
And it's like the big kind of orange.
The spiky ones?
But the actual meat of it, it's like this orange puree.
Ew.
That tastes like the ocean. It definitely tastes like the ocean.
Yeah, you're really selling me on that one.
I said, if you're not a sushi fan, there's a lot of things I would have you try. Not uni.
Not so much that.
All right. Well, we survived the day. We got one more day till the end of the week. Come back tomorrow for our Friday show at 11 a.m. But for now, stick around for Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Circular form is 50 times better. I want size.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
could say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.